verse number 8. All right, if you would look there, please. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both." Well, that's at the same time, right? "In Jerusalem." Boy, that's right here. "And in Judea." That's going out a little bit from here. And then it says, "And unto the uttermost part of the earth." Boy, that's going into other countries and around the world. But did you notice I skipped something? The Bible says, "And in Samaria." Now, that's kind of interesting. Would you go with me to Acts chapter 8 for just a moment? Acts chapter number 8. And when you get to Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Others were going, but not the apostles. Notice verse 5. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Look at verse 8. "And there was great joy in that city." Verse 12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Verse 14, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John." They were like, "Are you kidding me? Samaria is getting the word of God? Are you serious?" Notice what happens here. And the Bible says in verse 15, "Who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost." Verse 17, "Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost." Verse 25, "And they," talking about Peter and John, "when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." What, you say, what's the big deal about the Samaritans? The Samaritans were those that were unwanted. People didn't want anything to do with them. Matter of fact, they would go for miles just to go around their village. They didn't want anything to do with Samaritans. Can I say something from my heart tonight? I love going into prison. I do. I have the time of my life in prison. But listen carefully, I love going into prison in California. I love California. You say, "Preacher, that is crazy." You know what? I hear that so often. And you know what hurts me is I hear so many people talk about California as it's unwanted. I have people, preacher, that they're with me on going to prison, but they're not with me on going to California. You know what California needs? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And what a privilege to go to a place that needs to hear the word of God. I pastored 21 years, and then I left Virginia. We moved to Ohio, my wife and I. And we didn't understand what God was doing. And all we knew was God was moving us to Ohio. And we just tried to be faithful in that. But when we got to Ohio, different culture, different climate. It only snowed one time a year, started around November, ended about April. And I mean, I'm not used to that. I'm a Virginia boy. Man, I was born and raised in the state of Virginia. I'm not used to any of that. My son hated it. My wife would look at me and say, "Are you sure you're in the will of God?" And I even got to the point that I was wondering if we were in the will of God. But I was serving as the dean of Massillon Baptist College and the assistant to the pastor at Massillon Baptist Temple. And 8 months after we were there, my wife found out she had cancer. Not just one type of cancer, but two type of cancers that were not affiliated. Stage 3. And what God had done, he had moved us from a place where we did not have the doctors to right next to the Cleveland Clinic, who has some of the best doctors in the world. As my wife had surgery, the one who invented the surgery performed her surgery. My wife went through chemo, 18 rounds of chemo. She went through 4 different surgeries. She had to take all the shots and everything. To God be the glory. My wife is almost 9 years cancer free today. To God be the glory. God did that. And then God said, now, I want you to go to California. I would be crazy to tell God no. Because God had already proved himself to me. When God said, go to Ohio, I had no idea. My wife had no idea what we were going to face there. But God put us exactly where we need to be, exactly at the right time. And when God said, go to California, that's what we did. Boy, we got ready and with our pastor's blessings, got ready to take off. And as we were going out there, something wonderful happened. It's called COVID-19. And boy, that was a blessing, trying to be on deputation during COVID-19. And we tried that for about a year and a half. And then we just said, you know what, we're going to sell our house and we're going to move. We bought an RV and we took off to California. And so we got there, we got set up. Matter of fact, we still live in a fifth wheel today. Some people look for hotels coming across the country. We just brought our house and drove it all the way across. And so I sleep in my bed every night, amen. And but we still live that. That's okay. And we're having the time of our life. And since being there, I asked Dr. Ellis, when we were asking him about going to California, and I said, Dr. Ellis, is there a need for somebody to go to California? He said, Brother Whitlow, we've been praying for 20 years for somebody to go to California. State of California is a pretty good-sized state. We have Brother Gregor Root is a chaplain there. His health is not good. He's in bad health tonight. When he goes into the prison, he's only able to do just one service. He has to go back. He's in a wheelchair, but he still tries to go in. There was no one else in the state of California. And so since being there, we just begin to call prisons and email prisons and talk to prisons and all that type of thing. Well, just a few weeks ago, I got statewide clearance to all the prisons in the state of California. 32 of them. We're in 16 of them right now. And we're seeing people saved every single week. Last year, we almost hit 500 souls that walked the aisle and trusted Christ. This year, we already have seen 280 that's walked the aisle and trusted Christ as Savior. And they're enrolling in the Bible Institute. Our goal this year is to try to get 500 enrolled in the Bible Institute just in the state of California. And then God began to work and open doors in Utah. And believe it or not, we're going to Salt Lake City, Utah, to the Utah State Prison, preaching the Word of God in Salt Lake City, Utah. And we just helped them get hundreds of Bibles in that prison. King James Bibles, by the way. Well, then God opened up the doors in Nevada. And we started going to Las Vegas, Nevada. You pray for my wife whenever we go to Las Vegas, Nevada. I try to keep her out of certain places. I won't tell you where they are. But I'm teasing. But we go into Las Vegas, Nevada. And now we're preaching in the prisons in Las Vegas, Nevada. And God continues to open doors. I had a preacher call me that heard on the radio about our ministry and so forth. And he called me and he said, would you come to Colorado? Help us get a prison ministry started. I got in touch with Dr. Ellis. I said, is anybody going to Colorado? He said, not right now. I said, is it okay if we go? He said, absolutely. So we took off to Colorado, went and trained a bunch of the people there. They had three different churches show up for training, and now we're able to get started going into Colorado. And then we come here to this past week, and Dr. Ellis said, I need to talk with you. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, I want you to become the Western representative of Rock of Ages Ministries. I said, all right. I said, what does that mean? He said, everything from New Mexico over west. He said, I want you to be working and help us get people go in the prisons and get prisons opened and that type of thing. And just since he said that, we've already been contacted by churches in Canada. And now I've got a meeting where we're going to be going to Spokane, Washington. Me and Brother Donnelly are going to go and meet with some pastors there with the possibility of being able to go across the border and go into Canada and start a prison ministry of Rock of Ages in Canada. Let me tell you, God is doing some amazing things in an area where so many people just don't want anything to do with it. Boy, I sure am glad God lets me in on it. Hey, let me tell you, I'm a member of one of the greatest churches. I believe this is a great church. Don't get me wrong, but I believe I'm a member of one of the greatest churches in America. And you know where it's at? California. It is amazing. We have some good churches out there. We really do. But you know what breaks my heart? They're so far apart. So far apart. Please pray for us as we try our best to get going. Well, we've opened up an office out there in California for Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages had an office years ago in Oregon. But when Dr. Ellis became president of Rock of Ages, he moved here. And then that office closed. Well, many people thought when that office closed, Rock of Ages left the West Coast. So we're just now getting to the point that they're understanding that Rock of Ages is still there. I talked to a warden just the other day. He said, I thought Rock of Ages left. I've talked to some pastors. They said, we thought Rock of Ages left. I said, no, Rock of Ages is not left. We're here to stay. And one of the wardens, he said, oh, you have an office there? I gave him the address. He said, so you're here to stay. I said, yes, sir, we are. I am so thankful what God's doing. There's a missionary from Idaho. He's moving to California latter part of this month. He's going to be working in the prisons. We've already got him lined up to preach about 15 times a week in the prisons. I mean, God is opening doors. So thank you, preacher. Thank you for letting me come. Thank you for taking us on for support. I will try my best not to blow it, all right? I promise I will do my best. Hebrews chapter 13, real quickly tonight. And if you have any questions, please see me afterwards. I would be glad. I know you know all about the ministry, but I'm just telling you, I love the West Coast. I do. Yes, I'm from Virginia. I'm from the South, but may I say, I love California. My wife loves it because of the way they drive. Where we live is 6 lanes each way. They run 80 miles an hour. My wife has a ball. She loves it. She really does. And people say, how far is it to your church? I said, well, if I drive, it's 45 minutes. My wife drives 35 minutes. It just depends on who you ride with. But it is, if you don't run 80 miles an hour where we are, isn't that right, preacher? You'll get run over. And people are moving out there, let me tell you. But during rush hour, we all stop and look at each other. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's stand together real quick tonight. I'm just going to read one verse of scripture. Preacher, what time do I need to be done? All right, preacher, we'll be done about 10:30. Amen. I'm going to put that on my watch here. I'm teasing. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. I just want to pull out a portion of that verse. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Remember them. When I go into churches all across America now, I very seldom go into a church that someone doesn't come up to me and say, my dad's in prison, or my brother's in prison. One that hurts me the most is when a little mother comes up and says, my son's in prison. Or when a child comes up and says, my mama's in prison. And here in the Word of God, it says, remember them. Remember them. Remember them that are in prison. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, would you help me tonight to do my best for your glory. Move me out of the way. May we only see Jesus. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated, please. I've found it's easy to forget people once they're out of sight. Once they're out of the public eye. When they're out of the church pews. And often they become out of our minds. You see, inmates fall into this category. But the Word of God gives us no such excuse. The Bible says, remember them that are in bonds. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. It's a command not from man, but from God. It's a command from a God who has not forgotten the people that the world has cast aside. A command from a Savior who identified with the broken, who identified with the despised, and yes, even identified with the imprisoned. Hey, I want you to note with me tonight some things about how that we need to remember. Because behind every barred window is the soul that Jesus Christ died to save. I want you to think about that with me tonight, if you would, please. I want you to notice with me, first of all, God's compassion toward the captive. God's compassion toward the captive. I find God's presence among the prisoners. When I go into the prison in California, it's different than it is here. When we go into the prisons out there, they have to come where we are. I'm not allowed to go in and be there in their dorms, but they're allowed to come to where I am. And when they come, I have to go in at certain times. I have to go in during their free time, when they would normally be out lifting weights, or they would normally be out playing ball, or they would normally be out writing letters. I have to go in at a time that they would normally be going to the canteen and getting their snacks. And then when I go in to have the services, they have to be searched to come to where I am. When they leave their dormitory, they have to be searched bodily. When they come across the yard and enter the building where I am, they have to be searched a second time. And then when they come inside, I lock them in with me. I have no officer there. I have no one other than myself and the inmates. And then after all that is over, I go out to the door and I unlock the door and I call for the officers to come. The officers come and they search them a third time. When they go back across the yard and go to their dormitory, they're searched a fourth time. Now, this is what they have to go through just to come to service. Can I tell you, I don't know many independent Baptists that would go through that to come to church tonight. Most people would say that's too much. Hey, I'm not going to go through all of that just to go to church. But can I tell you, when God starts working in the heart of these men, hey, they're willing to come and they're willing to stand there and they're willing to be searched just to come and hear the word of God being preached. I had some other missionaries from Rock of Ages with me not too long ago. And I said, I'm going to ask these men something. I said, this is a new prison. I'm going to ask them something, but I want you to hear what they say. And I went in there and I stood there behind the pulpit and I said, men, I said, how many of you know the song, Jesus Loves Me? Raise your hand. Not a one of them raised their hand. I said, how many of you have heard the song, Oh, How I Love Jesus? Raise your hand. Not a one of them raised their hand. I said, men, how many of you know John 3:16? Boy, one of them's hand went up just like that. I said, wonderful. I said, sir, would you be willing to stand and quote it for me? He looked at me. He said, John 3:16. I said, yes, sir. I said, quote it for me. He said, John 3:16. I said, sir, did you know that was a Bible verse? He said, I had no idea what that was. I said, sir, what do you know about John 3:16? He said, I saw it at a ball game one time. He said, somebody was holding up a sign that said John 3:16. He said, that's all it said. That's all I knew. He said, I didn't know that was a verse in the Bible. And we preached that day on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm glad I'm a whosoever. When the service was over that day and the men went out there, boy, I'm getting chills thinking about it, preacher. Boy, the men went out there and they were standing there, arms up in the air, feet apart. Our missionaries were standing here. I said, I want you to listen to this, fellas. They were out there. I walked up and they were out there singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. We taught them John 3:16. They were just like little children. Man, they were as happy as they could be, singing a song about how much Jesus loves them and changed them. I'm glad God's presence is in the prisons on the West Coast. The Bible says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? In Psalm 139, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. There are no steel bars strong enough to keep out the Holy Ghost of God. There is no prison so dark that God's light cannot shine within it. In fact, some of the most powerful spiritual transformations happen behind locked doors. How many of you have ever heard of Charles Manson? Let me see your hand. How many has ever heard of his right-hand man, Tex Watson? Oh, Tex Watson was the one who actually performed the murders that Charles Manson wanted done. Tex Watson is a wicked man. Tex Watson was one that was out doing some horrific things. But Tex Watson come to chapel one day, not when I was preaching, but when another was preaching. And Tex Watson gave his life to Jesus Christ. Tex Watson cried out for mercy. Tex Watson trusted Christ as Savior. And today, Tex Watson is a chapel clerk in a prison in San Diego, California. And he's helping lead others to Christ, giving his testimony to others and sharing the word of God with them on how God changed his life. Boy, I had one of the first ones that ever trusted Christ as Savior. Boy, I was in a prison up in Susanville, California, the High Desert State Prison. And I will not tell you this gentleman's name, partly because I can't ever remember his name, but I know who he is. But I went into the prison that day, preacher, and he was over there playing a guitar. Man, he was good. And I walked, this was back during the COVID days. He had a mask on, long gray hair, and a big old gray beard and mustache. And he's an older man, but he could play a guitar. I walked over. I said, "Sir," I said, "I believe that's some of the best guitar playing I've heard in my life." He just looked at me and smiled real big and said, "Thank you." Hey, during the service that day, he was sitting right up here at the front. I got to preaching. The Holy Ghost of God got to working. I looked over. Tears are running down that man's eyes, going into his beard, down underneath that mask. He was sitting there about to bawl his eyes out. I gave the invitation. He was the first one that came forward and knelt on his knees right there and asked God for mercy and asked God to save him. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. When after it was all over that day, the chaplain come running in there, said, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "I have no idea." I said, "All I know is he knows how to play the guitar." He said, "Preacher," he said, "that man," and he told me who he was. I said, "I still don't know who he is." He said, "Let me put it to you this way." He told me the rock and roll band that he used to be with. He said he traveled the world, and he said he has been everywhere playing for this rock and roll band. I won't tell you who all it was, but the leader of that band passed away just the other day, if you've been watching the news. And you will find that this gentleman, he came up after he got saved, and he said, "Preacher," and he's a bawling. He said, "Preacher, I've traveled the world playing for the devil." He said, "I've traveled the world," he said, "and given my life to Satan." He said, "But I want to tell you something. God changed me tonight. And I gave my life to Christ. And I cried out to mercy. And God saved me." And he said, "I don't know if I'll ever get out of here. But if I ever get out of here, I sure would like to travel and sing for Jesus." I want you to know it's been some time now since that man got saved. Been about 4 years. He's been growing in the Lord. They moved him to a step-down unit. They said, you know, they told some of the officers said, "You know, he's changed." Amen. Said, "His life is changed." By the way, when you get saved, you will be changed. He said, "His life is changed," and they moved him to a step-down unit. I didn't see him for some time. I went into a new prison that was a level 2 prison. I'd been going to level 3s and level 4s. I went into a level 2 prison. I looked, and there he stood. Boy, I went over there. I said, "What have you been doing?" He said, "Just telling people what Jesus did for me." And I said, "Have you been playing?" He said, "I sure have." I said, "I want you to become my music director." And so now this gentleman that used to be on stage with one of the biggest rock and roll bands in the world and traveled the world playing for Satan is standing up in a chapel every week playing for Jesus Christ, leading the gospel hymns, letting people know how Jesus changed his life. I'm glad for the presence of the Holy Ghost of God, even though we're behind bars. God's compassion. I see God's pattern of mercy. The Bible says in Luke 5:32, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus did not come for the polished religious crowd. He came for sinners. He sought the lost. He went after those that were not the well liked. His first sermon in Luke 4 quoted Isaiah 61. saying, He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. When I go into prison, I tell them right up, I'm not here to get you out of the prison walls, but I sure believe you can be set free today. I believe there are some people in the California prisons today that is more free than some people sitting in our churches in the pews tonight. Because they have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and those chains of sin have been broken and they've been set free. California did away with death row, preacher. And now they just are considered lifers. And so when I go in to preach in Vacaville, I may have what used to be on death row. I may have anywhere from 60, 65, 70 that was at one time on death row in the service. And so I don't know if they were on death row. I don't go in and say, hey, what level are you? I don't go in and say, what did you do? I don't want to know what they did. And so I was standing there just the other week, and when I think back, I'm thinking, man, this is what the conversations I have with people. This gentleman walked up to me. He was so excited. He said, preacher, I want to introduce you to this man. He said, he's been on death row with me for 4 years. I thought, hello, how are you? Nice to meet you. That man looked at me and he said, preacher, he said, I've never been in a service with a Baptist preacher. He said, and I wasn't going to be in here today. He said, I had no intention of coming in here today. He said, but I just come in to hand the chaplain some papers. And he said, there was just something in my heart that said, you need to stick around a little bit. He said, and I got to listening to you, and he said, I noticed that everything you said, you backed it up in that Bible. And he said, I do believe the Bible is the Word of God. And he said, preacher, he said, I just want to thank you for coming today and telling me how to be saved. And he said, I just wanted you to know that I gave my life to Christ a while ago. I went over and I don't know how you are, preacher. I'm like, well, let's go through some things. I got my Bible. We started going through. He said, I did that. I believe that. And can I tell you something, friend? He didn't do anything any different than I did when I was a 7-year-old boy. You see, I just believe it takes the same amount of grace to save us in here as it does them behind bars. I don't believe there's a different act of grace because they've been imprisoned. I don't believe that they're too bad to get saved. I just believe that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when Holy Ghost conviction comes on the scene, boy, let me tell you, he'll do some changing in a person's life. I want you to notice with me, secondly, the Christian's commandment to care. I see Christ's identification with the incarcerated. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 36, Jesus said, I was in prison and you came unto me. Then in verse 40, he explains it. He said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see, when we serve the prisoner, we serve Jesus Christ. But when we ignore the prisoner, we ignore Jesus Christ. I went into a prison, and there was a young man that was sitting to my right, and he just had on a pair of shorts, and he didn't have on a shirt or anything, covered in tattoos. Some of you have seen men like that in your prison ministry. He was covered in tattoos, head to foot. I mean, his face, everything was covered. I went in, and I thought to myself, somebody needs to talk to that young man. And boy, I had already preached several times that day. I was exhausted. Another gentleman was with me. He preached. And as he was preaching, God was working on men's lives. And we had some other volunteers with us. And the preacher said, if you men want one of these guys to come and talk with you, raise your hand. Several hands went up. That young man's hand went up. I thought to myself, praise the Lord, somebody's going to get to talk with him. I'm starting to get a little excited now. And then the preacher, he says, all right, men. He said, go and talk to these inmates. And every one of those Rock of Ages guys went that way. And it left me and him on this side. Now the thought hits me, well, I guess I know who's going to talk to this guy. So I begin to walk toward him. As I begin to walk toward him, he jumps off his top bunk. He runs to me, sticks his finger in my face, and says, "Are you afraid of me?" I thought I'd rather not answer that at this time. I don't know what he's in there for. But have you ever spoke before you thought about it? Where I come from, it's called putting your foot in your mouth. Well, honey, I swallowed my whole leg. Because I looked at him, and before I ever realized what I said, I stuck my finger back in his face, and I said, "No, I'm not. Are you afraid of me?" That's a dumb thing to say when you're in a state prison. Level 4, lifers, never getting out, death row. I mean, that's crazy. But I said it before I ever thought about it. And he looks at me and he says, "Everybody's afraid of me." He said, "My mama's afraid of me." He said, "My own daddy's afraid of me." He said, "My brothers and sisters don't want anything to do with me. They're afraid of me." He said, "These other inmates are afraid of me." He's pointing around. He said, "They're afraid of me." And he's going on and on. He starts to cry. He said, "I want to know something. Is it true?" I said, "It's what true, sir?" He said, "Is it true?" I said, "Sir, tell me. Is what true?" He said, "Is it true that God would love somebody like me?" I said, "Yes, sir, it's true." I said, "Matter of fact, the Bible says, but God commended this love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, let me tell you the word of God. And I sat down for about 15 minutes with that young man. And that young man bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. He got enrolled in the Rock of Ages Bible Institute. And every time I've been back there, there's that young man coming to the chapel services. He's cleaned up now. He's acting different now. You say, what happened to him? He got birthed into the family of God. But there has to be a remembering. I went in, I was preaching one time. There was a big gentleman on this side, my left side. Boy, he was a big fella. And he would just come in and stare me down. And only thing I know to do when people stare you down is just keep preaching. I pastored 21 years. I was used to it. And so I just kept on preaching. But you could tell the Holy Ghost of God was stirring that man and softening that man's heart and changing that man. That man came in one day, and boy, when that invitation hit that day to the altar, he came. He bowed his head. He trusted Christ as Savior. He jumped up, gave me the biggest bear hug you've ever seen. And then every time he comes, instead of sitting over there staring, he wants to give me a hug. Can I tell you, you've never been hugged till you've been hugged by a man about 6'4". 450 pounds. Boy, they don't know how to let go. They just hold on. And he would come in and give me a hug every time he came. But one day he came in and he didn't look the same. And he didn't give me a hug. He gave me a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, it was written something like this. I can't bring the papers out, but I'm going to try to give you kind of what it said. It said, "Preacher, my mother passed away since you were here last." He said, "I was not allowed to go to her funeral." He said, "My mother raised me right, but I broke my mother's heart." He said, "I went against everything my mother taught me." And he said, "Look where it's placed me." He said, "Preacher," he said, "thank you for telling me about Jesus." He said, "Thank you for sharing with me how I could be saved." And he said, "Preacher, I don't know how it works." He says, "But even though I wasn't able to get out of here and go to my mama's funeral," he said, "I just kind of feel like somehow God let her know that even though I couldn't come and be at her funeral, I'm going to spend all eternity with her on one glorious day. And I just wanted to thank you for preaching Jesus and tell you, keep on keeping on." Yes. Let me tell you something, friend. When you get a letter like that, you want to keep on keeping on. It's worth it to go into those prisons. It's worth it to go in there behind those locked doors. And matter of fact, we're commanded to remember them that are in bonds. You know, we have the church's instruction. That's what it says. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Galatians says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You don't have to be behind bars to feel the weight of a chain. We are called to enter into the sufferings of others, to care enough to act. That's what he's saying here. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. In other words, care enough to act. When you look over and you see that little mother on Wednesday night prayer meeting raise her hand and say, pray for my son. He's incarcerated. Yeah. When you see those little children get off the bus route and they come in and they say to the Sunday school teacher, would you pray for my daddy? He's in prison. When they come in there and talk about their mom, California has the largest women's prison in the world in Chowchilla. I'm talking about mothers that are behind bars that will never see their child grow up. And that little child is going to have to live a life knowing their mama is in prison. Can I tell you, we need to remember these people. We don't ever need to forget about those that have brothers and sisters that are locked up. Because can I tell you tonight, God can make a difference in lives. God can put families back together. God can do some amazing things. I was over here at the conference this week, and as I went to the conference this week, a gentleman came up to me, and he said, preacher, he said, thank you for preaching in the California prisons. I've been in four of them. I said, oh, you were with Rock of Ages? He said, no, I was an inmate. He said, I was in four different ones. He told me where he was, and I said, I go to three of those. Three out of the four I've been having services in. He said, I just want to thank you for what's going on. He said, I gave my life to Christ. I got saved. And he said, now I'm living here in this area, and I'm wanting to serve God. Can I tell you something, church? It's worth it when you go to church somewhere and see a former inmate come up and sing in the choir. It's worth it when you see a former inmate take up an offering. Boy, it's worth it when you see a former inmate as pastor of the church. You see, there's conversion power of the cross. The gospel reaches the guilty. So what do we have to do? I'll tell you this, and I'm done. I had an officer come to me and he said, preacher, he said, I want to ask you something. He said, there's something I don't understand. I said, I'll help you if I can. He said, when we have all these different programs, he said, we can't get these guys to go. He said, when they do the Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever all this stuff is called and all these different programs, he said, we can't get them to go. He said, but when it's announced, Rock of Ages, he said, we can't get enough chairs in here. Or either we have to move the service outside. He said, the others come to four or five people. When Rock of Ages come, he said, they're coming in. He said, over maxing out the chapel and having to move it out. He said, you're not supposed to have but 49. Preacher, there are times when I'm supposed to have 49, I'll have 84. There are times, hey, we started out with one with 12. Now we're running 160. He said, what's the difference? He said, what are you doing different? I said, sir, I said, well, first of all, I have no idea what they're doing. I said, but I can tell you what we're doing. I said, the first thing I do when I walk in is tell them how much God loves them. I said, some of these men have never heard that. They've never heard that somebody loves them. I said, so I tell them how much God loves them. I said, number two, I tell them how much I love them. I said, I love coming in here preaching to these men. And I said, number three, I tell them about how much churches love them. I said, because if churches didn't support me, I couldn't come and be here. Churches are paying for my plane tickets. I have to fly all across the state of California. I have to fly into Utah. I have to fly into Las Vegas. We got to fly up to Spokane, Washington. We got to fly over to Canada. We got to fly. Hey, it costs to do that. And churches support us so that we can. I said, so I tell them how much churches love them. So I tell them God loves them. I love them. Churches love them. I said, then I open the Bible, and for about 45 minutes, I preach to them the truth. The truth. I said, they've heard enough false stuff. I said, they want to hear the truth. The truth will set you free. Politics won't set you free. Hey, the different rules won't set you free. Turning over a new leaf won't set you free, but the truth will set you free. And I said, sir, I said, sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth, you can rejoice. Sometimes you have to repent, but the truth will change your life. That lieutenant looked at me and said, preacher, keep on doing what you're doing. He said, because it's making a difference. Can I tell you something, church? We're commanded, remember them that are in bonds. Yes. Some of you might have some family in prison. We need to pray for you. And we need to pray for them. Yes. Some of you going into the prisons, you know what I'm talking about. We were shut down here last month. All the level fours were shut down due to murders. They were killing officers. They were killing volunteers. They were killing just different. Matter of fact, one prison I went to, Mule Creek State Prison, two of the men killed their wives when they came to visit them. You say, preacher, that's a dangerous place. It is. Sometimes you don't think about it that way. It is. But they can't come here. You can't run a bus over there and bring them to church. Somebody's got to go where they are. And I want to thank you tonight for partnering with us, preacher, so I can go one more time. I just want to keep going. I just want to keep going. I just want to keep going because every soul is worth it. And I just want to please God and remember them that are in bonds tonight. Would you stand with me for prayer, Father? We love